Amen to that. Lord willing, I just want to continue on with some of the thoughts that Brother Kenneth is speaking about this morning. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? We're never alone. Now, how can that be? That we're never totally alone from Him. Well, if the Lord would be my helper, I want to finish up the time this morning speaking about the new creature in Christ. The new creature. I don't know that I've ever approached this subject with this particular thought or this pattern in mind, but I pray, ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we continue with Brother Kenneth has spoken about how that we're not alone. He went a little farther. And I think you could just say that just about anything that he did, can't you? He went farther. He did it better than we did. He finished it. You know, we might try to do something, but he can finish it. He went farther. But the new creature in Christ. The new creature. You know, the Lord gives to his people. First of all, we know that God purposed that this is the way that he would deal with us in life. But he purposed it before the foundation of the world. We love to think about God's purpose. I hesitate to call it a plan. We make plans, and sometimes we get them right, and sometimes we get them wrong, and sometimes we finish them, and sometimes we don't. That's not the way it is with God. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. What God purposes to do, he's able to do, and nothing, you know, even Nebuchadnezzar, That man that was the most powerful human being on the planet in his day, he found out that God worketh his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? That's our God. That's our God. God purposed. When he chose out a people before the foundation of the world, he chose them in Christ. All right? When you come to Romans chapter 8, he says a little bit more about this. You know, we oftentimes quote Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what he purposed. And what he has purposed to do, he's able to do. And much of what he has purposed to do, we have seen it come to pass. All right? But in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to begin in verse 28 because it's just kind of hard to leave that one out. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, if we're sticking with the purpose of God, then we're safe, aren't we? We purpose to do things. We may not get it done. But God has accomplished what he's purposed to do. And he says that we know that all things. Now, I understand this passage, when you go through all that's said here in this Romans chapter 8, these all things are not every event that can happen to man. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is what God has purposed to do. All right? So when we find, he says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. In this passage, he speaks of a people that he will call, that he will do that. Okay? Just like Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's where we're trying to start this morning. It was God's purpose that he would give us his spirit while we walk through this life. Okay. Without that, we would never seek after God, would we? Without that, we would never love God. We love him because he first loved us. Okay? We'd never love God. We'd never seek after God. You can go read Romans chapter 3, where Paul goes into great detail, quoting from the Old Testament scriptures about how man by nature is. And he sums it up by saying, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Apart from God giving us his spirit, apart from us being born again, apart from us becoming that new creature in Christ, we would never seek after God. But you know, you can go all the way back to especially Abraham, and you could probably glean that from what he told Adam as well. But with Abraham, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into a place that he would show him. And God made some promises. I'm just kind of summarizing some. He mentions this in several ways in several different chapters, all like 12 and 15 and 18, chapter 17. All those chapters through there, God's speaking with Abraham and eventually changes his name to Abraham from Abram. But God makes some promises. First of all, he promises them a seed. So he's going to have a family. And he promises a land. He's going to have a place to dwell. And he says, I'll be your God. Think about that for a minute. He promised him a family. He promised him a place to live, a land to dwell in. And he says, I'll be your God. What more could we need? To have a family, to have a place to live, and that God is our God. Amen. To know him and to love him, it requires his spirit being given unto us. But oh, when he does, then we can begin to seek after him. Then we can begin to learn of him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know, when someone's born of the Spirit of God and they carry that burden of sin with them, that Spirit convicts them and it makes them to know they're a sinner. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. You know, old J. Vernon McGee, who used to be on the radio, he said, you know, there's two types of sinners. There's those that know it and those that don't. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when the Spirit of God comes, it convicts us, and it makes us to realize that we're sinners.
That's right.
But oh, the good news is there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Mm-hmm. When God has given us the Spirit. So God purposed. You know, I got away from Romans 8 here, but he said, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We, by nature, would never seek after God, but when he gives us his Spirit and gives us works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, he gives us then, we begin then to understand who God is, and we begin to learn of him. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So once we're born of the Spirit of God, then we have the faculties to begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to go to him, not just one time. It's not a one and done thing. Bless your hearts. We need to go to him every day. Now he draws us unto himself in regeneration, giving us the Spirit. Planting it, you know, when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what we're talking about here. When someone's born of the Spirit, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why did he go ahead and tell him he must be born again? Because you must be born again. That's the only way. All right? So God purposed it. But when it pleases him, he sends his Spirit into our heart and quickens us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. And then we can begin to walk before God and seek after him, and learn of him, and begin to love one another as we should, and to love God. All those things of the Christian duties that are ours to do, because it's right to do right. Bless your hearts. Once he's called us by his Spirit, God, that holy calling, that's not something man does. Not something man can do. Not something the preacher can do. I don't care how well blessed he is to preach. That's not a part of the gospel. The Holy Spirit must do that. Amen. We believe in a holy, immediate Holy Spirit regeneration by the will of God. When he does that, then we have the Spirit. Then we have life. The new life in Christ. Then we have the Holy Spirit. Then we have the leading of the Spirit. Then we're not alone.
There you go.
Bless your heart. God dwells in us. And he's with us all the days of our lives. And as Brother Kenneth was talking about, how that we don't have to be alone like Jesus was. And that is so profound. And I hope you got something from that. I hope you carry it with you and think about that. That Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for us, that we wouldn't have to do what he did. He loved us enough that he gave himself to save us from our sins. And so this new creature then can begin to grow, can begin to walk before God in a way that's pleasing in his sight. We can begin to learn how to love one. You know, we have to learn to do that. Now, the love is there. When we're born of the Spirit of God, he puts his love in us, and we need to learn how we can appropriately reflect that love to others. All right? And that's what we're supposed to do. That's the bottom line. So if you're forgiving one another, you're loving somebody. If you're long-suffering with somebody, you're loving them. See, all of those Christian fruits spring forth. They're an outgrowth of love. They're an expression of love. I don't care what it is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, patience. All those things, those nine things that he mentions there in Galatians 5:22. All of that are expressions of love. And it comes from what God has planted in us. And it's our Christian duty, if we want to honor him, to reflect those things to others. And the more we do that, the more we show our love for him. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? All right, so the more we keep his commandments, the more we're saying, I love you, Lord. You may not ever frame the words with your mouth, but if you're keeping his commandments, you're saying, I love you, Lord, every day. That's what we need to do as new creatures in Christ. We need that all through this life, that we can walk in a way that would be pleasing in his sight. He's made it vital for us. And so we can learn to go to him each day. We can learn of him. We can walk in his ways. We can learn how to love one another, how to forgive one another, how to be a help to one another. I tell you, I'm thankful for the Barnabases in my life. That word Barnabas means a load lifter, an encourager. And you find Barnabas in the New Testament, you'll find that's what he was. He helped Paul greatly. We need, if you appreciate those Barnabases in your life, why don't you try being one? Try being one. I believe you already have, but let's just try more. Do it more. The more we can be a Barnabas, an encourager, the more we're showing love one to another. Isn't that what Jesus said? Would show that we're his disciple? A new commandment I've given to you, that you love one another. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. But he goes on there in John 13. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that love may be expressed in various ways. You may have to be patient sometimes to love somebody. You may have to be long-suffering. You may have to be gentle with them. You may have to show some goodness. But in all those ways, we show that we're his disciples by loving one another. All right? That hope, or that new creature enables us to have a hope. You know, it's Christ, and Paul said in the Colossian letter, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we didn't have that spirit within us, we wouldn't have a hope of anything after this life. But bless your hearts, he's there. We're able, by the Spirit, we're able to lay hold upon these precious truths and to understand what Jesus did. He did by the purpose of God, being faithful to the will of God, to accomplish what God sent him to do to save us from our sins. We rejoice in that. But you can't do that without the Spirit, the new creature. It's the new creature that rejoices in those things. And you know, as life wears on, sometimes the outward man perishes. Now what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I tell you, I've been most recently reminded of that from Brother Elvin. You know, though the outward man was perishing, yet that inward man was still strong. That's what God gives us his spirit for. That new creature within us. It's still alive and well. It still embraces the truth of God. It still holds on to God. That's what he gives it to us for. Because this old outward man can perish. And we do. As life goes on, the longer we stay here, that's the pattern anyway, isn't it? The outward man begins to perish. Oh, I don't know how many of the saints of God have stood at their bedside or visited them in the hospitals or in the nursing homes and heard that faith was bright and strong, even though the body was frail and looked like a candle that was just about to go out. Oh, but that inward man, that new creature in Christ was alive and well. That new creature will never diminish. Never. As a matter of fact, that's what I love about, if you search out the meaning of that word new in new creature, it means forever new. Just like the soul. Soul doesn't die. Bless your hearts, the soul doesn't go to the grave. The soul doesn't go to sleep. The soul is awake. It's alive. And it ever will be. These bodies, when the soul and the spirit leaves this body, this body's like it's asleep. That's the way Jesus spoke of it. Well, he can talk about it that way because he can wake it up. He can call it forth. Oh, but as we think about the new creature. So, though the outward man perish, as life goes on, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And our hope in the Lord gets stronger. And we know that from his word that we are preserved in Christ Jesus. Not only are we preserved, but we've got an inheritance. Just like God promised to Abraham. God had promised him a family. God promised him a land. And God promised he'd be his God. And you know, you can take that from, that's pretty much what he did in Canaan, wasn't it? He provided them a place to live. And he said, you know, if you observe to do all that I command you, then those blessings upon blessings would fall upon them and he would be their God. And if they had just done what he said, there's no enemy that could have stood before them. They'd have never had a drought. They'd have never had a crop failure. They'd have never had to experience those problems because God promised he would bless them and bless them and bless them. Read Deuteronomy 28. He promised that. But then, he said, now if you don't observe, there's going to be curses. Everything that he said he would bless would turn to a curse. And that's for this life. That's for this, and it's going to happen. You know, Adrian Rogers, he was a Southern Baptist. I used to listen to him on the radio and enjoyed his practical teachings. But one time he said, you know, some of you folks want to sow your wild oats all week and then come to church on Sunday and pray for a crop failure. Well, listen, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's going to happen. God gives us his spirit, blesses us to be able to hear his word, gives us his love within us, gives us his promises, gives us, shows us what he has done for us to preserve us and to carry us home to be with him forever. Bless your hearts, the least we can do is honor him and walk in ways that's pleasing in his sight. Because if you do, he's going to bless you again. And so as we think about all that he's done in giving us this new creature in Christ. And that creature, that new creature, is what actually goes home to be with the Lord. When we come to the end of our way here in this life. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so, there's scriptures. Let's back up in Romans 8. Go back to verse 18. Let's go back to there. Romans 8, verse 18. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now listen, he didn't just say glory that shall be revealed to us. We've been blessed to learn a great deal about the glory that awaits us in heaven's pure world. But I'm going to tell you something. That's coming to pass someday. Someday, all our troubles, this, all the things that are perishing in this life, we're going to leave behind. You know, those books that are written about Left Behind and all that, and there's so much of that stuff that's not worth your time. But there is a concept of being left behind. All our troubles are going to be left behind. Bless your hearts. The sickness, the sorrows, and the sins of this world are going to be left behind. Because when we breathe out our last, that new creature in Christ, and that soul and that spirit is going to ascend to heaven. It's going to be with God in paradise. Just like Jesus told that thief at his side, today, you know, not going to some halfway house. You're not going to have to wait for some millennial reign. Bless your hearts. Today, he told that thief, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so when we breathe out our last, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That new creature in Christ, that soul and spirit, is going to ascend to heaven to be with God, to await the resurrection. That's our hope. And it's not just a wish, is it? It's based on scripture. Let me give you some of that. Let's read. Let's keep going in Romans chapter 8. And I'll try not to comment too much. Verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature." You know where that comes from? Having his spirit within us. This is not something man by nature has. "The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Largely, that's our hope. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption." These bodies are corruptible. These bodies are mortal. The outward man's perishing. Okay? "The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now, right now, we have the spirit of adoption. We've been given the earnest of the spirit. We spoke about that recently. That earnest of the spirit. If you've ever bought a house, you put down some earnest money. And the reason you had to do that is because they wanted some confidence that you were going to follow through with the transaction. Well, when God gives us his spirit, when we become a new creature in Christ, God is giving us a down payment. He's given us something ahead of time that says he's serious about going through with the rest of this transaction. And bless your hearts, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Someday, when he calls us home, bless your hearts, we'll enjoy the fullness of it. But right now we have the earnest of it. We have the down payment. We have His Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us into the paths of righteousness, to convict us when we do wrong or think wrong, to follow the leadership of His Spirit. We need that every day we live. Every day. And the more sensitive you are to it, and the more you're listening to it, the better off you're going to be in this life. Because He gives it to us for a reason. And if you ignore it, you're asking for trouble. Why would we ignore the greatest help that God has given us for this lifetime? He's given us, He's come, He's taken up His abode in us, He's given us His Spirit so that it can help us every step of the way. And if you would just follow that Spirit, you'd be in the will of God. You would be in the will of God. All right, so we need that. All right, let's keep reading. Where did I stop? Let's see. For we know, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now we're talking about the children of God. The people in this world are not groaning with their bondage of corruption. They're not groaning about that. We're talking about the people of God. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, don't you have those times when you just say, Lord, come quickly. You know, life can be good and there's plenty of things for us to enjoy. And God has given us the church and God's given us His people and families. And there's so many things for us to enjoy every day. But that's just for a while. There's coming a time when this old outward man's going to begin to perish. And we're going to realize that we're not as young and capable as we used to be. And we're beginning to see some of the things that are precious in this life. Things that we thought were so important early on that they're not nearly as important as used to be. And we begin to see what's real and what's true and how God has been faithful to us all the days of our lives. We long for the time that we can be free from this bondage of corruption, that we can be free from the presence of this sin, that we can be free from all the sorrow and the heartache in this world. I tell you, there's a lot of people in a lot of trouble. I'm talking about, I don't mean with the law, I mean trouble in their families, in their homes, in their body, and whatever the trouble might be. There's just so many ways that people are struggling in this world. And we groan and pale and travail in pain together. All right? He goes on to say, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, which means that is, the redemption of our body. The redemption. We're waiting for the time God will take us home to be with the family of God. Amen. To enjoy our inheritance, our eternal inheritance, and where we'll finally be capable of worshiping our God like we should.
Amen.
Forevermore. I tell you, just Nancy and I have been talking about heaven a little bit, and you know, we got some ideas, and we try to think about what heaven's like and what we'll be doing up there. And I don't know. You know, you come real short when you look for scriptures that talk about what's going to be like up there. But we do know this, it's going to be better. Even though we try to take the best things that we know about in this world and kind of cast them up there and say, well, it's going to be better. It's just going to be better than anything we've ever known this life. That's where I keep coming back to. It's just going to be better. You know, you look at what God provided for His people. The Garden of Eden, I'm sure it was the most beautiful place it was the first place, I guess, ever been on this earth. But I don't think there's probably not been anything more beautiful than the Garden of Eden when God created it. When He planted a garden and put man in it. They didn't have to plant that garden. They just had to dress and keep it. God made a beautiful place for them to live. The land of Canaan, Oh, it was just, they had houses they didn't have to build, and vineyards they didn't have to plant, and wells they didn't have to dig, and it was just all there and for them. They just had to go in and possess it. And it was a beautiful place, a land flowing with milk and honey, which means lush pastures for the herds to graze, and foliage so that or a flower so that the bees could make an abundance of honey. Probably the best way you could describe a land. That's what God provided for them in the land of Canaan. He given us a church. What a glorious refuge that is, and a glorious place that is, and a beautiful place that is here in this world. But we're all looking forward to that eternal home. And it's going to be far better. Far better than this. It's incorruptible. It's immortal. And the new creature longs for that place. The new creature, we get a glimpses of it. We just get little glimpses from the scriptures of how glorious that can be. And we have glorious times here now. Oh, but the best is yet to come. The longer I live, the more I study the scriptures, the more convinced I am. The best is yet to come. And as long as we may live, you know, even Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years, even that life is just a snap of the fingers. When you try to compare to eternity, because eternity will never end. But he's given us to be a new creature so that we can begin to know him in this life. We can seek after him. We can learn of him. We can have as much of him as we want in this life. And we've got all the help we need from him. We're preserved in him. If some calamity were to happen and take our snuff out our life in an instant, that's okay. We'll awake in his presence. God has blessed us. If we understand these things, we can face the troubles in this life, knowing that it's just for a while. You know, 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about the suffering of this. I'm mixing that up with Romans 8. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. Glory is going to be far more than this life. Waiting for the adoption. 2 Corinthians 5, it speaks about being absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Paul would say in Philippians 1, 23, you know, that's easy to remember it. Philippians 1, 2, 3. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with the Lord, which could be far better. Is that what he said? No. Which is far better. That's what Paul said. How do you know Paul? Well, he had the inspiration of the Spirit, but he also had an experience. Yeah. He was caught up to the third heaven. He saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Which if you heard Brother JC yesterday, you heard, you know, his explanation of that, and I agree with that, that it was just beyond what language could describe. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Saw things that were unlawful to be uttered. Another part of that may be that it wasn't time for us to know those things. But Paul had that experience. And it was given to him lest he should, you know, lest through the abundance of revelation he should be exalted above measure. That thorn in the flesh was given to him to keep him from being exalted. But he had that experience. He was caught up to the third heaven. and he heard things that were unlawful be uttered. So when he said to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, he had seen it. It wasn't just an impression of the heart. He had seen it. Now he said, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. God knoweth. And he repeated that for us. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. What Paul's saying is, whether I was in the body or out of the body, it was me. My spirit, I experienced it. The new creature carries that hope. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Bless your heart, someday that redemption of the body is coming. Listen to what David said in Psalm, or Moses, I guess it was, in Psalm 90. Psalm 90. You like the song, "I'll Fly Away"? You know, that's biblical. We like the song, but I like the song mainly because it's biblical. If it's true, we can count on it. Psalm 90. Let me just get verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70, isn't it? And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. In other words, it's going to be full of labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. When we breathe out our last, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
That new creature, that soul, that spirit that goes home to be with the Lord, it'll be there till Jesus comes back to this earth.
That's right.
How long will that be? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But listen, that soul and spirit's not in the grave just asleep. That soul and spirit ascends to God and can begin to praise God and rejoice. And it doesn't matter how long it'll be before Jesus comes back. The new creature in Christ, the spirit and the soul that's with it, goes to be with the Lord. How wonderful. You know, think of the thousands of years that some of the saints, their bodies have slept. And no doubt that they've gone back to the dust from whence they came. No doubt. You know, when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. The new creature doesn't happen that way. The new creature is a response to the voice of God. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, but he speaks life from the Son of God. Remember John 5:25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Those that are dead in trespasses and sins, he quickens them. He raises them from a death and sins to life in Christ. They're a new creature in Christ then. Bless your hearts. That new creature is alive. It's aware. And when we breathe out our last here, that new creature, the soul and the spirit goes with and to be with the Lord, awaiting the morning of the resurrection. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Yes. Thank you. Job believed that too. Now, isn't that something? Job lived a long time ago. It's accepted that the writings of Job are the oldest writings of the Bible. Job lived a long time ago. Who was the preacher that taught Job? The Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Okay. Listen to some of what Job has to say, and we'll close this up. Well, there's a lot. Well, there's a lot that we can get to, but Job 14. If a man die, shall he live again?
Yes.
I'm sure many people down through the ages have asked that question. Is this the end? Is there all there is? I'm satisfied that there are many people thinking that that's all there is. Live their life after the desires of the flesh and doing anything they wanted to, hurting anybody they wanted to, not had any cares about it whatsoever, thinking that when they died, that's all there is. They are in for a rude awakening, aren't they? If a man dies, shall he live again? Listen to what Job said. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I do not believe that we have a fixed time to die. Scripture says, why shall a man die before his time? You could do foolish things and snub your life out right now. But there is a fixed time. There's a time when Jesus is coming back and going to raise these bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body and take us home to be. That's a fixed time. You're not going to change that. I don't know when it is, but Jesus came in the fullness of time, and he spoke of a time that no man knoweth when the Son of Man would come back. And when you consider what the Scripture says about that, you have to understand it's a fixed time. He knows what he's doing. He knows when he's going to send the Lord back. He didn't tell us when it was, for good reason. But bless your heart, there's coming a time. Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. All right, let's go over to chapter 19. Job chapter 19, let's begin in verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. He got his wish, didn't he? They're here. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Listen to that faith. Brother Job lived a long time ago. There's a lot of things he didn't know about the gospel that we're blessed to know today. You know, the truth is there, but so much of the gospel truth was veiled in the Old Testament and revealed in the New. But still he had faith. He was a new creature. He had that new creature within him. And he could say, by the inspiration of God, he could say this: for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, he's already done that. I'm not expecting Jesus to come back and stand on this earth. Especially now, I'm not expecting him to come back to Jerusalem and sit on a throne.
Amen.
God raised him up to sit on that throne. You read Acts chapter 2. He spake of the resurrection of Christ as far as raising him up to sit on his throne. He's sitting on that throne right now. But when it pleases God, he's going to send him back. And Job was waiting for that time when his change would come. But just your heart, he didn't have to wait until the resurrection. Him being born of the Spirit of God, having this understanding, when he breathed out his last, his soul and spirit went home to be with the Lord right then. But there's coming a time when the Lord comes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord's going to bring back the souls and the spirits of all of his people that have departed this earth. And he's going to raise these bodies and fashion them like in the glorious body of Jesus Christ. And he's going to reunite that resurrected body with that soul and spirit, and then he's going to take us home to be with him forever. Bless your hearts, that's our hope. That's the truth of God's word. And being a new creature in Christ, we're blessed to understand these things, to embrace these things, to hope in these things, knowing that it's not just a wish, Bless your heart. This is the sure promise of a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, may God help us to rest in the sweet hope that he's given us because we're a new creature in Christ. He gives us that so we don't have to be without him in this world. We won't be alone. Bless your heart. He's with us every step of the way. And he teaches us to abide in him. And he'll abide in us. Now, he's there. But oftentimes, we don't pay him any attention, do we? You know, in your mind, you could take a trip far from God. But bless your hearts, he's in your hearts. And may we abide in him and he in us and enjoy the sweet presence of the Lord in our life, the leadership of his Holy Spirit, and the encouragement that we'll need as this outward man perishes, that inward man will be renewed day by day. May God bless you is our prayer.
One, four, six.